out very clearly. Okay, come. We haste out here. The Rebbe is going back to the sikha he spoke the previous week. The previous week, the Rebbe spoke about the union of Golus and Gula. The difference is that Gula has an Aleph. So the Rebbe explained that how you bring the Gula by bringing in the Aleph into Golus, you bring the Gula. What is the Aleph? The Aleph refers first to the Eibush, the Aluf is Eloilam, yeah? So now the Rebbe is going back to the same thing and is going to add a few points to it. So here the Rebbe is summarizing what he said the week before. So this is on line 2 to line 5. Now, Rebbe David, I want you to see clearly what the Rebbe says here. The Rebbe says, what we explained last week was that Gula is the same letters as Goyla, just with the added Aleph. So now, what does that mean? So it means, the Rebbe says, Aleph, number one, that's the end of line 2, that Gula is the redemption of all Inyonim of Golus. It's very clear. There's nothing new in Gula other than the fact we're taking the Golus and redeeming the Golus. And you can say this soon again. The Rebbe repeats himself here. You're redeeming the Golus. How do you redeem the Golus? So you have in line 4, the Abish that you come to realize that the Abish is the balabot of everything. That means, I'm now in Golus, and my awareness of the Abish is limited. How do I bring Gula? I bring an awareness, a clearer awareness that everything, Abish is controlling everything. That is how I bring Gula, by taking my Golus and bringing awareness of the Abish into the Golus. That's one thing. The second thing is, from this, I create Gula by bringing Aleph, the awareness of the Abish, into the Golus. I'm creating Gula. So what is Gula made out of? There's nothing new in Gula over Golus. It's just bringing an awareness of the Abish into my Golus, and that creates Gula. Okay? So that, yeah, what do you say?
But it was always like this. Just effect of this.
So now, we went through this many times. All the years, Ayid's connection to the Abish was through Torah and Tefillah. You're sitting in Golos, you're in the ghetto, you don't have the ability to do what you want, you're limited, you're restricted to do what you do, you cannot do what you want. So how do you connect to the Abish? The Abish to Bligvul, but Torah and Tefillah. When you're davening, you connect. In your mind, you're connecting to Hashem. In your practical life, you connect to Hashem in a limited sense. Connecting to Hashem in a limited sense is not Gula. That is Golus. The Rebbe is saying in our days, you bring the Aleph into Golus, meaning that you can connect to Hashem in my day-to-day work. That means today there's so much opportunity to do mitzvahs. There's no limit to opportunity to do mitzvahs. There's no one holding you back from doing a mitzvah. So how all that is needed in order to increase in doing mitzvahs is that I should become and aware, I should find within myself how to increase mitzvahs. So the Bligvul of the Eibishter is not limited today only to Torah and Tefillah. It's also, I can bring it in Kol Maaseh and Kol Drachah in my work in Golus, my day-to-day work, my day-to-day life. I can bring in awareness of the Eibishter. So therefore, now the Rebbe tells us, what is Gula bringing the awareness of the Abish into Golus? Once upon a time, the awareness of the Abish was in my Torah and Tefillah. In my circle called Rechecha, it was limited. Because now there's no limit to come a circle to Rechecha. I can increase doing good things. So now I bring the Abish into my actual Maisim, which that is the life of Golus. It's a fact, it's a reality of life. I bring the Abish into my reality of life, not only to my Torah and Tefillah. I bring it into my reality of life, so that I'm creating Gula. Fine, how do I create Gula? If I bring the awareness of the Abish into the reality of my life, I will be affecting my friends. They should also see how, by me doing what the Abish wants in my life, how the Abish gives me brachas, they will also start doing what the Abish wants. Will affect Goy, and will affect the whole world to realize that doing what the Abish wants is only for our own benefit. When the whole world will realize that doing what Abisha wants is for our benefit, that is Gula. Okay? So once upon a time, you could not show the whole world that doing what Abisha wants is for your benefit, because once upon a time you did miss this many times, you had to be Mois and Nefesh, and you had to give up on your life, but today you're not going to give up on your life. You do mitzvahs, you're only going to get a better life. So now you can affect the whole world. You should come to realize how good it is to listen to the Eibishter. So therefore, when you do, when I bring the out of my, the awareness of the Eibishter into my routine life, I am creating gula. Does that make sense? The Seder. So it's not, gula is not a tax, detached reality from gulas. Once upon a time it was a detached reality. Today it's not a detached reality. It's just bringing the awareness of the Eibishter into my regular komasechel and everything what I do. Okay, fine. Let's go to number two. Now here the Rebbe goes to Ois Beis. Here the Rebbe goes on to explain that these 2 points we just said, that gula is bringing the Eibishter into the awareness of the Eibishter into golus, and that creates gula. These two things we find by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Where do you find what it says in science? So the Rebbe says that if you look in lines from 9 to 16, there's two paragraphs here. So here in these two paragraphs from line 9 to 16, the Rebbe explains what happened by Yetzias Mitzrayim. They took everything of Mitzrayim. They even took everything from Mitzrayim. And they brought it under Yiddish, they took it into their own possession. They took everything from Mitzrayim, took it into their own possession. What did they do? They took the Goyish possessions of the Goyim, of the Mitzrayim, and brought it under Yiddish control. So what did they do? The things which were actually belonged to Mitzrayim, they just brought it that Yiddish should be able to use it for a good purpose. So they're taking the Golos and using the Golos for a good purpose. They took the possessions of the Mitzrayim. The Yidden. They emptied out the whole Mitzrayim. The whole of Mitzrayim. That's what they did by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yeah. They emptied out the whole of Mitzrayim. Yeah. So what did they do with that? There was nothing new they did over here. Nothing new was created here. They weren't showered as money from Shemayim. Nothing came up from above. No. They went, took the Mitzrayim's possessions and brought it under their control. So what did they do with that? They took the dollars and brought it under Yiddish influence. That till now the money was in Mitzrayim was being used for who knows what. Now it's going to be used for Yiddish. So it's the same money, the same possessions, just using it for a better purpose. Okay? So the same thing, we're taking the dollars, we're just going to bring an awareness that this, everything we see in dollars, should be used for the Eibishter. That's one thing. So you have it now. Look on line 13, the Rebbe says it very clearly. On line 13, the gula was not just going out of Mitzrayim, was taking Mitzrayim with them to the gula. They took Mitzrayim and used it for Yiddish purpose. Okay, that's the first thing. What's the second thing? The second thing is, with all possessions they got from Mitzrayim, they went and managed to build a Mishkan. With all the money come from Mitzrayim, they managed to do all of this. So here they created the gula. How did they create it? With the possessions of the God of Mitzrayim. So what do we see here? That the gula is not a new entity. It's taking the gula and using it for its proper purpose, identifying with the Eibishter, taking everything having gula and using it for the Eibishter, and that creates gula. Rebbe Yaakov.
Sure.
Say that, so far.
I just want to say that.
Yeah. Yeah, so very good. So you have the very... So
Gullus means, I mean, Hashem, there's purposefulness in life. Hashem runs the world, but that doesn't mean it's not painful. That doesn't mean that people don't suffer.
1 second. So you're throwing in several points here. You're talking about suffering, so let's leave suffering out. But let's just take this point, which you mentioned, Jesus shine, only 1/5 of the Eden came out. So I have here line number 2.
You want to understand that literally?
No, so let me address it one minute. Yeah. So in 9:2, I bring here from the Tanya where it says in Tanya that which is very well known, there's an enormous difference between Yitzchayim and Gula. And a footnote number 2, there's an enormous difference between Yitzchayim and Gula, which is emphasized everywhere. Yitzchayim, they had to detach themselves from Mitzrayim, whereas in Golos, they bought a Ha'am, but Golos, we're going to go with the support of everyone around us, which is similar to what you're saying. So the Rebbe is, it's no question, the Rebbe is, there is an enormous difference here in Mitzrayim and Geula, the Geula Asida, which is indicated, the Rebbe indicated in the footnote here, which the Rebbe indicated in the Sikh itself. That means any of that is not, we're not saying the same thing. The Rebbe is just drawing out a certain point of his Sikh Mitzrayim. That means, after the Mitzrayim was crushed by the Makkos, that at that point, you got the Mitzrayim involved and supporting the Yidden in the Gula by giving them things. So they went along with the Yidden. That happened after they were crushed. Now, by the Gula Siddur, there everything is going to go with the support of the Goyim. We're not going to have all of this struggle of fighting with the Goyim. The fighting was all done in the Zman HaGolus. The Gula is going to happen with the cooperation of the Goyim. So the point of where the similarity is, that once the Gula from Yetzias Mitzrayim was ready, set to go, that is when you had the cooperation of Mitzrayim. They gave everything to the Yidden that the Yidden should be able to use for Gula. So in that sense, this Gula Siddur is similar to the same as Mitzrayim. I hope I explained myself. Now, when you said about 1/5, the Rebbe explained this 1/5, this Rebbe explains that it's been going back many years, but Gula Siddur is not going to be this 1/5. There's no, every Yidden is going to go, isn't it? Okay, fine. Now, okay, so the comparison here to Yetzias Mitzrayim is not in every single aspect, because this is indicated in the Sikh itself in various places.
Tell you, Rabbi, they had to run away from the tribe because of the bad in their heart.
Right, that's Tanya, yeah.
If it's in your heart, you're running away, aren't you running away from the are they running away from the bad in the tribe?
That's really going. We're going to the Borak, which we're not trying to discuss the Borak now. So now let's continue to line to page number 2. So we have here page number 2. Now that I was asking, so we're drawing a comparison from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Golus. What have we explained to the Gula? That Gula is created from Golus. That's what we said. What and how do we create it? By bringing into Golus an awareness that everything is being controlled by the Eibishter. Having identifying with the Eibishter in Zman HaGolus, we create Gula. So the Rebbe says, that is very good. But Yetzias Mitzrayim had other things, and the Gula also has other things, besides just that the Eibishter is the Bala Boss of the world. Why? Because there's by Yetzias Mitzrayim, the world is the Gilu of Hashem and Kriyas Yam. So in other words, you have the awareness that Eibishter created the world. That is the first basic awareness which every Yid has to have. So that was there by Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim, the Yodu, Mitzrayim, Tanya, Hashem, they Yetzirim got to realize that the Eibishter is in control. That's the first thing. But later on, there was much higher, there was greater Giluim. The Eibishter revealed himself in Kriyas Yam Suf. Later on, there was Matan Torah, which these are all Giluim, which are far higher than just knowing that there is the Eibishter running the world. The Torah is above the world. So the Gil of Matan Torah is above the awareness that there's the Eibishter running the world. And the same thing by Gula Siddur, there's going to be Giluim, which are above the world, Eila Tildes Peret, and it's going to be the Inyan of, they're going to be the Inyan of Gilu of Pnimis HaTeira, Chidush Teira Chadosh Mitzvah Teitze, which all these things are Giluim of Teira, which are above the Madrega of the Eibishter just control, being Balabas of the world. So how can you say that the whole Geula is just bringing the awareness, the Aleph, into Geula, when a large part of the Gula is Giluim from the Eibishter, which is totally above the world, which would mean Lechera, totally above Golus. So it's unrelated to Golus at all. It's something, it's Giluim of the Eibishter, which is above anything. It's above anything related to Golus. So how can we say that all, the whole Gula is just bringing the awareness of the Eibishter into the Golus? Okay, that's the Rebbe Shaila in Gimel. So now let's go over to Dalet. The Rebbe explains that in this Aleph, when we're talking about this Aleph, so true, we said this Aleph refers to the awareness of the Eibishter, Alufi Shaloylam, who is the Bala Boss of the world. But the Rebbe says this Aleph also indicates on other things, not only on Alufi Shaloylam. The second pshat of Aleph is, the first pshat is Alufi Shaloylam, meaning the Eibishter is Bala Boss of the world. The second pshat is Aleph Loshen Limud, Limud HaTeira. This is something we just discussed before. The Matan Teira, Limud HaTeira. Then the Aleph also means Pella. So here the Rebbe goes to explain in the next paragraphs what each one of these things are. The first in line 17 to 19, the Rebbe explains the union of the first Aleph is what we already discussed, just knowing the Eibishter. No, realize the Eibishter runs everything in this world. That's the first thing in Aleph. Aluf Eshel Olam. The next thing from line 20-22 is Inyan Avlim Tera, which is above the world. Aleph Kochma Aleph Mabina, which is above the world. Apaim Shodna Kozm Tera Olam. This is a Gilgilah Veibishem, which is above the world. That is also in the Aleph. Aleph referring to Aleph Kochma Aleph Mabina. Then we have the third Madrega, which is Pella. Now this Inyan of Pella, the Inyan of Tera, the second Madrega, was by Yitzhak Mitzrayim, because Yitzhak Mitzrayim led to Matan Torah. This third Madrega of the Pella is something which is really related to Gula, and by Yitzhak Mitzrayim it was not so much there. Why? Because the Pasuk says, you see in line 23, 24, the Pasuk says, that the Gula seed is going to happen in Floyd even compared to the Nisim of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So then the Ike in of Floyd is going to be by Gula Sida. So this third Madrega of Pella, Niflois, really is really applies to the Gula. Even though it was also there by Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and the letter says in one of the footnotes here, it was there by Yitzhak Mitzrayim, is on the next page in the footnote anyways, but the main union of Niflois is, as explained in many places, the union of Niflois is really something going to be by the Gula Siddur, which that refers to all the Nisim and Niflois which is going to be by the Gula Siddur, which are going to outdo the Nisim of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and then more than anything, it refers to the Gili of Pnimus HaTeir, which is going to be Lost Lobby, which is out of the embassy in Yenov Nifloyes. So we have three things in Aleph: the Inyan of the Ebishter is Aluf HaShalolam, the Balabos of the world. Number two, the Inyan of Limit HaTeir. Then you have the Inyan of Pella, which is Inyan of Pnimus HaTeir. All of these things, the Rebbe says, are Shaiyah to Golas and should be introduced in Golas. When we bring all these three things into Golas, the union of knowing the awareness of the Balabas, and Limit of Teda, and the union of Limit of Teda, we're bringing the Aleph and all the Madrigas of the Aleph into Goyla, into Golas. So let's go over right now to page number 3. Here in page number 3, on lines 7 to 18. Now here comes a very big chiddush, which we're going to have to devote a bit of our hear what's going on over here. Here the Rebbe is talking about three madrigas in Aleph, which have to bring all of these madrigas into Goyla, right? So that's what the Rebbe says in the beginning. Now from lines 7 to 18, the Rebbe starts on at another point. Now this point the Rebbe adds here is that it really is something unique, very much to the Rebbe. It's not something which is really lecheira discussed too much before. It's the Rebbe's unique mahalach, and we have to understand what the Rebbe is saying here. The Rebbe says the main pillar which is going to be revealed, which we have to bring into Golos, in the Zman of Golos, the Aleph, the pillar we have to bring into the Zman of Golos, is the pillar about Oid Hashem Kenapabi. That means the actual fact that Eibishter put us into Golas. Now, why did Eibishter put us into Golas? You could say, if Eibishter put us into Golas, in order, through Golas, we will have a greater reward. So the Rebbe says, that's what you could say. The Rebbe says, this is from lines 9 to 12, that is not sufficient. To say the only reason why we're in Golas is in order we should get the greater rewards later, is not a full answer. Why? Because the Eibishter can give us reward without us going through the Golas. And the Pasuk says, I'm going to thank Hashem for enough to be the fact I suffered in Golas, I'm going to thank Hashem. David the Melech says, I'm going to thank Hashem for the suffering. So when I have reward, that is not, the fact I have reward doesn't really make me thank Hashem for the suffering. It makes me thank for Hashem for the reward I got after the suffering, when I was out with a state from the suffering. But the actual suffering, there's no reason I should thank Hashem. So the Rebbe says, when the Gula comes, I will thank Hashem for the actual suffering.
Regardless of the reward.
Besides the reward, I'm also going to thank Hashem for the suffering. Now, what is the Rebbe actually referring to? What's he referring to? So you look at the next paragraph, the Rebbe is talking about, it's highlighted on line 16, the Arichas HaGolos. In other words, This is something which we know already from all the Rebbe says all the years. Golas always had some legitimate explanation for it. You know, another cat. The Rebbe says it's come to a point that kolokola kitten, and there's really no understanding for Golas. It makes no sense. See, this is what the Rebbe is referring to. The Rebbe is saying, this tariq of the Golas, how can you that is the tzav, and not to be the big tzav, the Rebbe says, how long can Golas continue? There's no reason, there's no legitimacy, logically speaking, there's no legitimacy that we should have such a long Golas. So this is what the Rebbe wants to understand. How are we going to be able to appreciate this fact that Eibishter extended the Golas so long? And that the reward is not sufficient. Why? Because the Rebbe said that the Yidden have done enough mitzvahs through all the years, enough mitzvahs nefesh, they should deserve all the reward. There is no need for extra Golas. That's what the Rebbe says. There's no reason, logical reason, that we should still have the Golas. Once upon a time, there was always reason to explain that the Yidden have to have some more mitzvahs nefesh. The Rebbe said, Yidden have gone through it all. Staying in Golas is not really going to accomplish anything more. We're not going to be becoming better by staying in Golas. So what is the purpose of this Golas? This Golas is just plainly pure enough to be without any real logical explanation. So the Rebbe says, when this Managula comes, we will understand, we'll appreciate this Arichas of Golas, this enough to be which we had, why this, it means, we'll appreciate the suffering itself, the suffering which Lechera doesn't have any logical reason, right? This is what the Rebbe says. Now, the Rebbe explains, for every goal, yeah, this is what kitten means there is another thing that can be accomplished. The daily stroll thought, he didn't give them another 50 years, they will accomplish this. And that's the Rebbe saying, this is a ketis. It's not just a gematria, it's just a godly, because if it would be a gematria, you're not allowed to make kitten. The Rebbe saying, the end of the ketis is that the godly stroll realize that he didn't have to refine himself another little bit and they'll be royal for the gula. Then the Gula didn't come to the God will be so real that an extra refinement is needed. The Rebbe is saying, in our current state, you are not, there is no reason for Golas, which you couldn't understand to me. The Rebbe says, knowing the situation, staying in Golas is not making us better. There's no added improvement. Whatever it is, the Rebbe says very clearly, there is no purpose in this Golas. The Eibishter wants the Ratzon of the Eibishter. But Hapisekel, even Seichel Teira, there's no reason. So this is pure enough to be. The Rebbe is saying, we will then appreciate why the Eibishter made this enough to be. Now, and the Rebbe says, this is in which is not, cannot understand. We cannot, it's not the mind of our Seichel, the Rebbe says it very clearly. And this is what will happen by the Gula, we will understand this, the benefit, we'll be able to appreciate the Rotten of the Eibishter that he held us back in God. Now I'm asking you. The Rebbe is trying to explain us how we can relate to the Aleph in our time of Godless. Here, based on the Rebbe said here, that this Inyan of Naftabi has no logical explanation, and the Eibishter is something which the Eibishter is going to be able to. When the Gula comes, we will be able to appreciate why the Eibishter wanted us to stay in Godless. How does this relate to our version now? The whole idea, the whole sikha here, is to tell us how we, in our version's managolos, can bring the Aleph. This Aleph, what the Rebbe is discussing here, which is a Maile Masech Lagambi, there's no way, we cannot relate to it. The Rebbe says very clearly, it's something like Maile Masech Tamatas. So how is the Rebbe telling us that we should bring this Aleph into Golos? Huh? Eid Hashem cannot to be. Now this Eid Hashem cannot to be. I bring here in footnote 8 a letter from the Rebbe. The Rebbe explains this meaning of Eid Hashem cannot to be, which means it's something which is we really don't. It's something we cannot understand, the suffering of Golas, and only this man of Golas we're going to see it. So how the Rebbe is telling us to bring this Aleph into our Veda, in our Veda of Golas, if the Rebbe himself is saying that this is something we cannot understand. The Teretz is cannot to be the suffering. Hashem made me suffer. Hashem made me suffer. We're going to understand. We're going to appreciate the fact that we suffered. Now, this thing to the preacher, be able to preach it, he suffers. It's something not you cannot logically understand why. It's not suffering is suffering. We're going to appreciate the suffering. If it's something which is so removed from time, but that from Seichel, how did they ever tell us to bring it into Golas? Huh?
How can we appreciate the suffering if we don't
How are we going to relate to this anatomy? I'm going to identify with the benefits of anatomy. The Rebbe himself said there's no way we can understand this golos. The Rebbe says, it keeps on repeating, there's no way we can understand the Arichas HaGolos. Now the Rebbe says, this anatomy, this Arichas HaGolos, I'm going to be able to appreciate. And the Rebbe said, not to bring it into the way of God. Into God. So, how did it go?
But we know from Talmud, according to your suffering, your reward.
First of all, remember, the Rebbe just said, we're talking about the suffering itself is going to have a value, not the reward. The Rebbe says right clearly, it's not the reward, the suffering itself is going to have a value. The second thing is, the Rebbe said, there's no way we can understand the Arichas HaGolos. So how does the Rebbe say we should identify? Kabbalah says that's not identifying with the value of the thing. Kabbalah says accepting. Accepting, we all accept the fact that the Abish is doing the right thing. We're not. That's not the question. The question is, can we appreciate it from our...
By us revealing this Aleph, revealing this Aleph now, that revealing this Aleph, that not just the anathabi, but the part, the accomplishment of anathabi, revealing the Gila of the Coast of the Geula, revealing the Geula now, that's how we could do it.
So you're saying something, maybe I should say it fully for you?
Yes.
Okay, let's put it fully. The Rebbe is saying to us, there's no real... The Rebbe is saying, let's tell you this. Geula is my ability to do what Hashem wants. The Rebbe is saying, once upon a time, we were limited in our opportunity to do what Hashem wants. So nowadays, we're not limited, we're not restricted. Just identify with the fact you're not restricted and start increasing, and we will create Geula. That's what I'm saying. This is the union of Geula. It's this union of Geula, which the Hashem says, a Yid knows he can fulfill everything that Abisha wants. The Rebbe says, begin to realize that we can do within ourselves, we can find how to do what Hashem wants, and we will create Geula. That's what I'm saying. So now that I'm saying, I do not understand why we do not hear his message. He's telling us that we can find within ourselves how to bring about the Geula. The fact is, we're still in Geula. That means we still have not found within ourselves how to bring the Geula. So the Rebbe is saying, I cannot understand why we do not find within ourselves how to bring the Geula. So the Rebbe says on that, there's no reason for this. There's no, it can't be understood. That is the Rebbe speaking. What about us? By me, I don't understand really. I'm that the Geula can't come. I'm in my situation. The fact I'm in Golos, I'm very aware of that. The Geula can come. Yes, I heard the Rebbe telling it to me. I have already found within myself how to do everything the Abishah wants, actually to bring Geula in my life. I'm prepared to actually see myself doing everything the Abishah wants in a matter of Geula. Now I'm not really ready for it. I'm not really up to what the Rebbe is up to. So therefore, the fact I'm in Golas makes sense to me. Gula makes sense in my Emunah, but in my Seichel, but not completely. So now, the moment I come to realize what the Rebbe is telling me, the moment I bring the Aleph, and I come to realize that it all depends on me, and I can actually find within myself how to bring the Gula. At that moment, I'm going to understand why the Abish extended the Golos. In order, I should come to realize. So the Rebbe is saying, Golos has no meaning. I have not fully identified with that. The fact is, I'm still at peace with Golos. I know it for myself. I'm still at peace. I don't know what the Rebbe is saying about Golos, but I'm still at peace with my current situation. The moment I identify with what the Rebbe is telling me, that there is no reason I should be here, I should be ready moving forward, at that moment I'll realize why the Abish extended it. There's no logical reason. I, for some reason, didn't identify with what the Rebbe said. Now I came to identify. So that's why the Abish extended the Golos. So therefore, when I identify with the fact that there is no purpose for Golos other than me, myself, not identifying with Golos, I will understand why I will understand why they extended the Golos so much. So I will understand that it Hashem can have to be. At that moment I'm going to realize it made no sense. I should have realized already a long time ago, but I didn't realize. And if I realize today, I'm going to realize halfway. I don't realize fully. The moment I realize fully, I will understand why they I will understand why the Eibishter extended the Golus. So the Rebbe is saying there's no reason for it. I still haven't aligned with the fact there's no reason for Golus. When I will align, I understand why Hashem extended the Golus so much. Well, the Rebbe is saying that you should have realized right now. You should be real. There's no reason why we are not identifying with Gula. There's no reason. There's no logical reason why we shouldn't identify. It's just for some, we have to sort of catch on to what the Rebbe is saying. At any moment, the Eibishter can come and catch on. So the Rebbe said that the fact that we're still not catching on, there's no reason for it. There's no reason. For me, the moment I identify, I will understand exactly why it was, because it was waiting for me to identify. This is what it is in short. You know, we put it in other words of, let's not go into it, but you see the reason why this Aleph of Pella is the Anach to be, is related to my Avodah yet. Now, I have to realize that this Anach to be is for has a kavana, and that kavana is that I should realize that there is no inyan in extended galus in the galus which is extending. I should come to realize that. So how you did this sort of click a little bit? Huh? It clicked a little. It doesn't have to be 100%. But
How do you see it in the world?
You have to take the sikham. I said, very good. Hear what he's saying. The Rebbe is telling us, he's talking about this thing which is a milam asekel. Enough to be. Right? And then the Rebbe is saying, what is this enough to be? We say enough to be on Golus. You can say many things. You can say enough to be all the suffering you went through all the years in history. That's not what the Rebbe quotes over here. There's enough to be which is bothering the Rebbe more than everything else. Why? Because all the suffering that you didn't have in the past, however bad it was, there was always some reason to explain because there's another case. Now it's color kitchen, so now this is the enough to be which the Rebbe is referring to, the Richas HaGolos. Why are we still in our current situation? This is enough to be, the Rebbe is saying. And the Rebbe says, I have to do this, and that is the Mayim HaSeichel, and this I have to bring it to my Goyla. I'm asking, if it's the Mayim HaSeichel, how can I bring it into my Avodah now? The answer is because I have to identify that this, you have to, that it is, it's all my Avodah. The whole enough to be is just my Avodah. That's what it is. It's all my Avodah. It's all about me. Nothing else. The Rebbe is talking about Richas HaGolos. Richas HaGolos is like the Rebbe said, the Chof Kesnis, and I've given it to you, and now go ahead and do it. So the Richas HaGolos is all about me and nothing else. It's all about me. Gula be'etzim. Let's have Gula be'etzim is all about me. What does Gula mean? That Hashem gave me the ability to do what He wants, and I have to realize I have the ability to, and I realize, and therefore, once I realize I'm going to do it, and therefore I get all the brachas. Once upon a time, I didn't have the ability to do, in Golus, the Rambam says, you don't have the ability to do everything you want. Now the Rebbe says, we're still in Golus, but we can find within ourselves how to change the situation. So this gula, what is separating us from the gula? The fact that I haven't identified with the fact that I could find within myself how to do what Eibishter wants. So what is the whole gula about? The way the Torah said it, gula is all about us. Now the Rebbe is telling us, this is what the Torah says, actually applies to us. It's all about us. So therefore, this enough to be, which is Arichas HaGolos, is all about me. It's all about me, so, right? So once I identify it about me, with that, I have actually brought the Aleph. So this Aleph here is related to me, perhaps more than anything else. Because it's all about, this Aleph is just about me. Just about me only. Why am I not, Once you realize that Gula is about you, going back to the basics, Gula is all about me doing what Hashem wants. Do what Hashem wants and everything works, right? Hashem gives a, in Zman HaGolos, Hashem says, you will do what I want, and lav dafka it's going to work. It's an oinish. Posh pshat. Now the Rebbe is saying, it is all about us. You're in Golos and find within yourself how to do what Hashem wants. So it's all about me. So Arichas, so if the Arichas of Golas is all about me, so the Inyan of a Nafta, Arichas of Golas, is my avodah more than anything else. The Shaila was, what, how can I come to identify with this Oid Hashem can not be? If it's something which is a Maya Masechel, it is a Maya Masechel. My, the fact that I don't identify with my ability to do what Hashem wants fully is a Maya that has no sense at all, makes no sense. It never says it makes no sense. The moment I realize it makes no sense, it's just me that I have to come to identify. So that is enough to be. That moment I'll realize why it was extending, because I did not identify.
No, Rabbi, we're sitting in Dallas. We're praying to Hashem to take away
sorts
of suffering from people, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not a contradiction. Say, take it away, we want to have one.
No, we're not... With what?
In the future, we're going to say, yes, Hashem, oh, did Hashem get out of the thing? We say, yes, ultimately it was good. But that's not a contradiction. We say, Hashem, take it away right now. We have normal life.
So, good. That is in, to take, when you turn to Hashem to take away the golas. That's one thing you have to ask Hashem to do. Everything you does, everything you do, you go parnot, you have to ask Hashem. Take away the golas, we have to ask Hashem. But there is a void of a poil. The void of a poil, that nowadays there is no one holding me from doing this, what Hashem wants. So besides asking Hashem, I have to also do it. In other words, when I have to go, I go to work. I daven for my parnasa, and I go to work. Once upon a time, gula was in a different category. You only daven for gula, and you didn't go to work for gula. You did Torah mitzvahs, and gula was something you had to rely on Hashem. It's al pi Torah. Now that I was saying, because there's not, you don't only have to daven for gula, you have to do Torah mitzvahs, and therefore affect yourself, affect people around you, people should see the Torah mitzvahs makes your life better. With that, you are changing yourself, you're changing the world. With that, you're creating gula. So today, it's not limited to davening, it's also in Maisa Apoel. Once upon a time, your identification with gula was tefillah lechakos, just a matter of tefillah. It's a regish in the heart, it was with regression, that's where our connection to gula was limited to. Now the Rebbe is saying our connection to gula is not limited to a regression in the heart. It's leading to a void of a pearl of kim Torah mitzvahs with an awareness that there's nothing standing against me in to increase in Torah mitzvahs to no limit. Therefore, it's my micro pearl. So does that answer your question? Huh? People are suffering. People are suffering. The Rebbe is telling us the Eibishter gave Yidden the key to all Yeshuas, to all Atzolos, to all Brachas. What is the key? The major key, more than anything else, Torah Mitzvahs. Once upon a time, the Zman HaGolos, you're limited in your ability to Torah Mitzvahs. So this key was our big Zeres Hashem was not functioning fully. Now the Rebbe says, this key is in our hands. This is the essence, the Ian of Gula. He says, it's not practically, we haven't brought it out. Potentially, we have the ability to bring it out in ourselves. No. So therefore, suffering, do Torah mitzvahs, and you will see that this suffering is going to go away. Don't take the worst suffering. Take the easiest suffering. I suffer because of this reason or that reason. My children suffer because of this. My wife suffers because of this. My neighbor suffers because of this. So there's people around me having trouble. Find this within myself, I can actually help myself. I can actually help the people around me. With this awareness that I have the ability to be doing Torah mitzvahs, just trying to find how to improve the situation, I can do it. In other words, when I'm today with my emunah in Hashem, I'm doing what Hashem wants me, following Shulchan Aruch, I'm using Shulchan Aruch and using it to help myself and other people, I will be successful. No, they will come, their current situation will come better. Right now, right here, by doing the right thing, telling them to do the right thing, explaining to them that today there's Torah mitzvah. Remember, there's a very clear definition. Golos is a time you cannot do Torah mitzvah freely. Now the Rebbe says you can have impact in Goyim, you can change it, you can influence everyone. So the whole goal is today depends on my doing Torah mitzvahs, impressing other people with the importance of Torah mitzvahs. So therefore, the whole goal is changes and stuff. It all depends on me. It's all within me. This is how they, this is state, this is what it says in the Torah, in the very, very initial stage. This is what it says in the Torah. This is managolos when we know we cannot change. We have to have, we have to look to Hashem to change. Now, we have to look to Hashem and know that Hashem, we daven, that's like anything we do. We daven to Hashem knowing that Hashem is giving us the ability to do what we can to help ourselves. So it's not limited to it, it's also from Torah mitzvahs. So the suffering, the deed, we can change our situation by being knowing that I have the ability to keep Torah mitzvahs. We do change our situation. We do change the suffering of people. We change. There's no one locked into suffering. Today we have the opportunity to open up to help people everywhere, right?
Torah mitzvahs got to do with suffering. You see a person suffering, you pray for them and you give them aids. What's wrong with that?
No, you can. That's no. There's nothing wrong. Hudson. No. Torah mitzvah would be being kind to the person, telling the person, you can help yourself. Do more tzedakah. Be positive about yourself. People, that person will be helped. Mefeirish. Tell a goy doesn't have to know Torah mitzvah. He has to know his shabbat mitzvah. Noach. He has to know attention. That person will be helped. Okay, fine. Let's continue. Remember, the Eibishter leads the world, and if that will, it does happen. It works. It works in the Eibishter's ways, but it works. Fine, let's go. Now the Rebbe continues over to line 19. The Rebbe says these three things we just discussed are also in David and Shlomo and Mashiach. In other words, Mashiach comes from David and Shlomo, so you have David. David is Malchus, which that would be the lowest Madregan Aleph, Aluf Shalom. Yeah. The second Madregan would be Shlomo, which Shlomo's strength was the union of Chochmah, the union of Torah, right? Let's go through this quickly. I don't, because it's late. Then you have Mashiach. What are the unique things of Mashiach? That's Pella. Mashiach is Pella. Because Mashiach, that's the union of, by Zulu, the Mitzvah Shem, is going to be in the Nifloes, Mitzvah Shem, after time, learning the Nifloes. And then in Tera, it's the Gila of Pnimis HaTera. Okay? Now let's continue to the Ches, where the Rebbe said, the union of Pnimis HaTera already started with Rashbi, in Zman HaGolos. This Aleph of Pella was already started in Rashbi, in Zman, Rashbi was Megala. Then let's go over to lines, to test that the Bashemta was Megala, the Rebbein was Megala. Here comes two lines 23 and 26. And let's just focus on these lines 23 and 26. The Rebbe says, so we have this Pella we have through learning, how do we relate to this Pella on line 23? Through learning to this, right? Then the Rebbe adds, Mistakul Pesnei Rav. 26. And 24, I'm sorry. That was 23. Through learning to this, we relate to the union of Pella, right?
Right.
Then on line 24, the Rebbe says, Mistakel b'fnei Rav. Yeah? Why did the Rebbe bring that in? That's like a separate statement which is thrown in. How did it come in? So very quickly. In the sikhs earlier, L'cheira, the Rebbe spoke about two things. It was about Mashiach and Gula. The Rebbe is discussing both. In this sikh here, and the sikh of Achim Moed, the Rebbe is discussing mainly Gula. When we talk about, so Gula means the fact of Mashiach, the effect of Torah mitzvahs on me. That is, we're talking about Mashiach. Mashiach is the etzem, where the gula is coming from. He's the etzem. What's the gula? The gula is Mashiach's effect, the effect of the etzem, the gilui of Mashiach in my personal conduct. That's gula. I am now following Torah mitzvahs. My life is coming better. So I've taken that spoil, which I'm getting from Mashiach, it's affecting my life. That's a gilui of Mashiach in me. Mashiach is the Esem, where everything is coming from. The Eibishter said that Mashiach is going to be Megala, the Gula. He's the Esem. And the Gula is the gilui of Mashiach, his effect on me. So the previous sikhs have discussed both Mashiach and both Gula. Here we're talking about Gula. We're talking about identifying with the Aleph, all in Yonim of Gula, the effect of Gula on me. That's what we're talking about here. Here, when the Rebbe is talking about Gula, the Rebbe says, when you identify with this Aleph and that Aleph and the next Aleph, remember, it has to be connected with the Etzem. Where, in order to be able to have, bring the Aleph of Pnimis HaTorah into it, affect my life, I have to be aware of the Gilui Lakus, which is coming from the Etzem. Mistakel b'fnei Rav. Okay. We're talking about Gilui, so that is, look, so Rebbe's he speaks in terms of Giloy, you have to see Mistakel, you have to identify with the Rav where the Giloy is coming from, and that gives the ability of the Giloy to affect you. Because, in other words, to understand the Pele, you have to possibly connect with the Etzem, right? Okay, very good. Okay. No, never, not going to think. You have to, the business, hoo-hoo. Okay, fine. You have to know you can't, it's not a remote entity. Gula is not a remote entity. What Gula is, I'm infecting my life with what the Rav told me. That's what Gula is. So these Aleph, each one of Aleph is a different level of what I received from the Rav. So you have to identify, how do you, it's as under with my identification with the Rav, that's the Gedder of Gula. All of these Aleph is just another level of my identification with the Rav. Okay? Say it, let's go, look at him. Anyway, so now the Rebbe says, now let's go to this last point on line 29. This is for you, Reb David. Now the Rebbe says that every person can be a tzaddik. Every person can be a tzaddik in our days, right? The Rebbe says, even though it says in Tanya, not everyone, and going on to page number 5, even though not everyone has the ability to be a tzaddik, the Rebbe says today, the Rebbe says, nevertheless, there is the Gufa Gashmi, the Yid, which gives the ability to be a Yid to be a tzaddik. So let's skip this piece about the Gufa Gashmi of a Yid. Let's go over to the line 2 and line 4, where the Rebbe says, that he brings from Tanya, that says a Beinoni and a tzaddik, two different madregas. Nevertheless, a Beinoni could perhaps Kula Hai V'Ulai, he may be able to reach the Madrega of a tzaddik. The Rebbe still continues to say, but nowadays, after all the suffering Yid went through, every person can be a tzaddik. So let us understand, how did this work? In Tanya it says that you have to first be a Beinoni. And then perhaps you may be able to be a tzaddik, perhaps. And now the Rebbe is telling us all of us can be a tzaddik. Yeah? And you go continue further in the sixth of the last lines, on 9, 16, 15, and 16, the Rebbe says, when you are with your begolim atzoyim, you should be identifying with all of this. Part of this is to identify with the fact that you can be a tzaddik. How did this work? Tanya. No, being a tzaddik. The Rebbe is saying that every Yid can be a tzaddik.
So you identify yourself as tzaddik.
You ever said, now we all know that we all aspire to be Beinonim, which is also very difficult. And now the Rebbe is telling us all of a sudden that we can be tzaddikim. And he brings some Tanya where it says that even a Beinoni can only, by chance, if he's lucky, he may be able to be a tzaddik. Now the Rebbe is telling us all of us we can be tzaddikim. How does that work? Huh? The Rebbe says, because we've gone through so much suffering, that's why we can do it. But how did it practically work? L'cheira, if we have to be Beinonim first, and then we have to have this chus of getting a special connection to a tzaddik, perhaps not necessarily guaranteed. So how did the Rebbe say now we can all be a tzaddikim? How did it work? There's several ways of explaining it, but let's go to this very...
If there is no restriction on growth, and we identify ourselves with Geula, so there is no restriction to get into this madrega.
Okay, that's word. That's no problem. That's very word. So the Rebbe says, you have the words here. And the Rebbe says, we went through all this suffering, now you can all be a tzaddik. So you're saying words, you're not really explaining me logically. I know myself. My name is Nachum Strux. I know exactly where I am, more or less. And I'm very far from being a Beinoni. Yeah? Now the Rebbe is telling me I'm going to be a tzaddik. How do I relate to that? Okay? It's a challenge. How can I be a tzaddik? How will it actually work? How can I do it? I want it to make sense to me. If it makes sense to me, I'll be able to relate to it better. How do I relate to it? So, here, let's go here. Is that a good question, Yaakov? How can do it become a tzaddik? You know the tzaddik of Tanya. It doesn't even have a yitzhara. So the Rebbe is telling me, I can be a tzaddik without a yitzhara. How do we do it? So, let's see over here. In footnote 15, there's several quotes. The idea of a tzaddik, of every Yid being a tzaddik, is something we discussed in quite many places in the Rebbe's Sifras. And the idea is, so there's a quote here from the Maimer of Bilam Moves, with a quote, that's a quote here, in Footnote number 15. What did the Rebbe say here? The Rebbe says... Yeah. So now the Rebbe explains, and this is something the Rebbe says in many places. When you're doing the mitzvah, when I'm actually doing that mitzvah, right? Now, I may be doing a mitzvah, I may have machshav azoros, even besides mice. I may be thinking of other things. So I'm not fully a tzaddik in every aspect, no? But in the actual act of the mitzvah, what I'm the koyach, the energy I'm investing in that mitzvah, yeah? My involvement in that mitzvah, I'm a tzaddik. The extent I'm involved in that mitzvah, I'm a tzaddik, right? Okay. So the Rebbe says, when a yid does a mitzvah, in his involvement, in the mitzvah, he's a tzaddik. Okay? And he's doing the mitzvah. Now let's go a bit further. That's what it says
in a moment when he's completely involved in the mitzvah and not involved in anything.
No, let's drop, even without the, no, doesn't really say that. Even when he's not, the Rebbe does say that here. The Rebbe says when he dedicates himself to the mitzvah, the Rebbe says when you dedicate to the mitzvah, you are a tzaddik. Okay, fine. When I'm involved in the mitzvah, my involvement, then I'm a tzaddik. Now let's go a bit, let's take this one step further. You have a look at the sikhs. In generally, there's a thing called b'chol masechel chod rechecha. Yeah? There's mitzvahs, there's rishus. What's rishus? Chol masechel, chod rechecha is rishus. The Rebbe brings in the Kutasikhas Chelik Yud Zayin from a chilte which says, Kol Masecha V'Kol Rechecha is a mitzvah. Now there's an order over there from the Rebbe which I couldn't bring here too long. The Rebbe goes to explain, I'll bring from Gemara, Rashi, Tesis, Mekoris, that this Kol Masecha V'Kol Rechecha is also a mitzvah's essay. This is what it says in the chilte. Let's not go into the whole thing, why Inshallah doesn't mention it. What? We have it, yes. We went with this very, yes. Now, this next thing. Now let's take the next thing. Chelik Yudches. The Rebbe explained. When a Yid is obligated to do Komasekel, he do his status in order to have his pronosa, to have income, you have to do his status, Komasekel Kotrachecha, right? The Rebbe says, when I am doing my status, not in order for my benefit, I'm doing it because I know Hashem told me that He wants Yidden to be mishtadl for their parnasa. He doesn't want it to become by itself. He wants Yidden to be mishtadl. And the only reason why I'm doing this status is only because Hashem told me I should do it. Hashem wants me to do it. That's why I'm doing it. At that point, the Rebbe says, my status in Kol Masechel Kol Rechecha comes a mitzvah. Usually Kol Masechel Kol Rechecha is reshus. Right? Not one of the mitzvahs. But the moment when my hishtadlus in doing it only because Hashem, I know Hashem wants me to do hishtadlus, I'm not doing it for my personal drive. When I'm doing it only because Hashem wants me to do it, that's when it comes to mitzvah. Now, then there's another sikh that I've explained. The bligvul mitzvahs, b'chlal, it says, Torah is bligvul. Mitzvahs is gvul. That's how it's always explained. The Rebbe explains, mitzvah is also bligvul. How is mitzvah bligvul? Every mitzvah has a limited time when you do the mitzvah. There's certain times which you, possible, like when you may not be able to do a mitzvah. But the Rebbe says no. Because the Kol Masechel Kol Rechecha, that is the bligvul of mitzvahs. Now, just think. Now we've said, the bligvul of mitzvah is Kol Masechel Kol Rechecha. And when you do Kol Masechel Kol Rechecha because you know that Hashem wants you to do it, that is a mitzvah. Now, just considering the situation today, that there is nothing there holding me back to affect myself, to affect people around me, to get people to understand about Torah and mitzvahs, to improve my life. It's all within me. So when I identify with the fact that Hashem has given me the full opportunity to just do what He wants, I have all opportunity. So at that point, when I realize the opportunity that Hashem has given me, that I can just increase in helping myself, in doing Torah mitzvah, in helping other people, at that point, the opportunity is so great, I am going to be completely involved in the opportunity. In other words, as long as there's only so much I can help myself, I'm limited, I may be successful, I may not be successful, then I'm only going to dedicate to help myself to a certain limit. When I'm aware that it all depends on me, and there's no limit how much I can help myself, there's no limit how much I can help other people, just continue to increase and finding ways how to help myself, there's no limit to this, if I'm aware of this, I'm going to be completely committed to helping myself. Why? If there's unlimited opportunity, I'm not going to give up on the opportunity, right? So therefore, at that moment, I'm going to be completely dedicated to just doing more mitzvahs and helping other people and finding how to help people with parnasa, how to myself with the parnasa. So I'll be doing everything just because there's an unlimited opportunity. At that point, I'm not going to have any reason. It won't occur to me to do an avera. Why? There's so much opportunity available. As long as the Torah mitzvah is not completely available to you, you're restricting your ability to do Torah mitzvahs. There can always be room for, in order to not to give in to Yitzhara, you're going to have to fight against the Yitzhara. Why? Because the Yitzhara is telling you, look, you can have nice, enjoy yourself but not doing the mitzvah. You have an easier time but not doing the mitzvah. So why do the mitzvah? So you have to fight against it. You have to overcome it. But when you realize there's unlimited opportunity to do mitzvah, and you realize that through that I'll be getting all the bracha from the Eibishter, and I'll be getting more successful, when I have this awareness, my Yitzhara is not going to tell me not to do a mitzvah, because the Yitzhara knows that life is going to be better by doing the mitzvah. Once I realize that I can help myself through doing Torah mitzvahs, my Yitzhara is going to want me to do mitzvahs. At that point, I'm going to be completely dedicated to doing mitzvahs. At that point, I'm going to be a tzaddik. Does that make sense? Think about it again. In other words, I'm not changing myself. I haven't become a better person. I've just come to realize that there is so much opportunity. The Rebbe is telling us there's so much opportunity. Just find within yourself how to improve your own life, how to help other people, how to do more Torah mitzvahs. The more you will put your mind to it, the more you will see how it actually works. So when I get this awareness, I'm going to be just dedicated to doing more good. I see how it just helps me and it helps people around me. At that point, the Yitzhahara is not going to come and tell me, because listen, when you are occupied with helping yourself, reaping rewards, increasing your life, you don't get sidetracked, right? You get sidetracked when you have different options in front of you. Should I go do this hard work, or maybe should I take an easy route and not do the work? That's when you get sidetracked. When you see the opportunity in front of you, how a mitzvah actually can help me, then point, I'm actually going to my mind, I'm not going to even have it occur to me not to do it. I see how it works for me. Therefore, at that point, I come a tzaddik. Not I have changed the situation. My awareness of the situation around me changes. I am the same person. I may have to still refine myself. That always remains. But what am I, practically speaking? I'm actually a tzaddik. And it's not the tzaddik to the extent that I'm not going to even want to do something wrong, because I realize it doesn't pay to do something wrong. Once upon a time, it may have paid. I knew this. I come to Olam Haba, it won't pay. At this current moment, I didn't see Olam Haba. I just saw the complications in doing the mitzvah, etc. Now, come to realize, see, do it, start. See how doing mitzvahs just makes your life better. The more you come aware, the more you're going to be improving. You come at starting. You don't have the temptation to do something wrong, because it does not pay to do it. If life is telling you it does not pay, you just want to do good. So all it is a matter of changing your awareness. A kind of changing awareness around you, which is ever saying that people should be aware of the opportunity of where our Torah misses. That what the Torah has told us today doesn't only make ruchnistic sense, it makes gashmistic sense. Why? Because it works. There may be other results, but primarily it just works regardless. It just happens to work. It's a reality of life. It's like any other reality. Torah mitzvahs today actually makes things better for the person. So therefore, the more I begin to see it, the more I will actually come to be focused on Torah mitzvahs and not even have a will, an inkling to go and do something which is negating Torah mitzvahs. Okay, so now let's go to the last line here, line 15 and 16. The Rebbe says that the union of bringing the Aleph of Gula is when I'm with my begotten Matzoyim. You see these words? On line 16. In line 16.
Yeah.
The Rebbe is telling you, Lecheder, Gula, I'm not ready for Gula. Kula is a tzaddik, you know. I know myself. There's so much I have to do, improve. I haven't done tshuva yet. I'm still having, I don't regret my bad things so much. You know, I'm still, you know, have different moods. I'm still with my begotten Matzoim. I should be ready for the matzav of a tzaddik, the matzav of a gula. The Rebbe says, no, in your begotten Matzoim. So you have here a quote in 17, footnote 17, with this similar thing that the Rebbe says. The point is that with your begotten Matzoim, I'm still the same person. I haven't become a better person. I just realized what the Rebbe is telling me, this color kissing, is just waiting for me to come and realize that really the opportunity is in front of me, and that will get me to become better. So I can be with this God of Matzoim, I'm the same person. I'm just changing my awareness, and automatically I'm bringing Gula into my life. It's got nothing to do with what my God of Matzoim. So I didn't have the quote here. I skipped it here for some reason. So it was either in the Pnim or in the footnote. It says it there. I must have taken it in the footnotes. It's there. The quote there from Kutasichas. That the Yub God, my God of Matzoim. The Rebbe says, as the Gula will come, you'll fix it because of Matzoim. When the Gula will come, and you'll be doing mitzvahs completely, you'll be, factually speaking, you'll be a tzaddik. Then you reflect back to yourself. Remember, you know, the reason why I'm doing everything what Hashem wants, because I just realized it's the right thing to do. It's for my benefit. So that's why I'm doing what Hashem wants. But who am I in essence? I'm going to remember that I'm the same person. I still have my, who I am. I remember from yesterday I was in Golos, I remember exactly who I was. So then I'm going to refine myself again, perfect myself. That I will do afterwards. After I realize that just the situation doesn't pay for me to do something wrong, I will then refine myself. But identifying with Gula, you identify right now without this moment with my begotten Matzoim. Change, do the right thing. Later on you'll take care of yourself and actually prove yourself to go to higher Madrega, etc., etc. But say then, Rabbi Akiv. That's the inyan of refining itself after the gula. That's the inyan of mistreating it since time lost loving. The other loving after the gula, you reflect back in the past when I was in Golas and I knew I wasn't. I know I was then not perfect. Then I'm going to perfect myself what I missed. I'm perfect then I'm going to make up for what I was missing in Zman HaGolos. But the first thing is connecting with the Pearl Mamas, that I have every reason to do Torah Mitzvahs. Okay, that's it.